Is suffering a major part of your life? Did you know that you can also rejoice? Let me show you why. Keep listening.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Everyone, my name is Don Rule. I speak on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Joy through suffering. Yes, it is possible. The highest joy to the Christian almost always comes through suffering. No flower can bloom in paradise which is not transplanted from Gethsemane. No one can taste of the fruit of the tree of life that has not tasted of the fruits of the tree of Calvary. The crown is after the cross. In Psalm 30, verse 5, it is written, "For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Psalm 126, verse 6 says, "He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Oh, please consider what those two passages have said, as well as the text that we'll be looking at today, which is Philippians 4, verses 4 and 5. Can you rejoice? If suffering is a major part of your life, do you know that you can also rejoice? You have to make the decision to have joy, for it is more than a mere feeling. Listen now to Philippians 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Let us think about what Paul said. Rejoice. What is so interesting about this? If you were listening last week, we looked at Philippians 4, 1 through 3, in which Paul revealed the conflict between two women in the congregation. And it's interesting that after talking about conflict, he then all of a sudden says, "Rejoice." Again, I say, rejoice. And the conflict between these two women could be settled quicker if they and the rest of the body filled themselves with joy. Joy is also a good defense against the trials of life. We should rejoice because it makes a pleasant atmosphere. I mean, who likes to be around grouches? Now look to see if you're a grouch. When we rejoice, it shows the world the goodness of the Lord. It is encouraging to other Christians who need to be refreshed when they can see you rejoicing. It brings beauty into the heart. One preacher said, "Joy is a bird. Let it fly in the open heavens, and let its music be heard of all men." Rejoicing motivates us to do wonderful things. It attracts people to Christ because more flies are caught with a spoonful of honey than with a barrel of vinegar. Rejoicing makes others rejoice. And not only that, but it's not optional. The Holy Spirit commands it. It is commanded because joy makes us like God. It is commanded because it is for our profit. It is commanded because it is good for others. Rejoice in the Lord. Of course, our whole lives should be characterized as being in the Lord. Paul is just showing us yet another thing that should be rooted in the Lord. The Lord is our reason for rejoicing in all things. Let us therefore not rejoice in personal power, wealth, heritage, accomplishments, even spiritual success. Rejoice that you're in the Lord. And so rejoice in the Lord always. As long as you're in the Lord, rejoice. We have to learn to see that rejoicing is not an emotion that we just do when we are in the mood. According to Philippians 1, the people to whom Paul wrote, they were suffering. Listen to Philippians 1, 28-30. He said that not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear is in me. Okay? So Paul knows that the members of the church to whom he is writing have some adversaries who are trying to terrify them. Nevertheless, this ambassador of Christ says, rejoice, even as he himself was able to rejoice while chained in prison. You see, people will give us reasons not to rejoice. Things will fail us, causing us to lose our rejoicing. Yet, if we have the joy that Paul's talking about here, we can still rejoice through bad circumstances. This is precisely what Paul is doing. Again, he's in jail with chains on, and he's writing these things. The calendar of the sinner has only a few days in the year marked as holidays, days when he should be happy. But every day on the calendar of the Christian has been marked by God as a day of celebration. Listen to this passage from the Old Testament. It is from the prophet Habakkuk. The last chapter in his book, chapter 3, Habakkuk chapter 3. For it anticipates that things could go sour. Nevertheless, the prophet had made up his mind that his rejoicing was not in the things of this world. The cause for his joy was God, who is never taken away from us. Listen to this, Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Therefore, the Christian may truly rejoice everywhere and always. And what about Paul himself? Was he practicing what he was preaching? Well, he had a serious eye problem, according to some of his other writings in the New Testament. His people, that is, his heritage, the Jews, for the most part, had completely rejected him, trying to kill him numerous times. In fact, that's why he was sitting in a Roman jail cell with chains on. But listen to his letter, and you will hear a man rejoicing in the Lord always. How could he rejoice always? The reason for his rejoicing was the Lord. And that never changes. It does not depend upon who is in the White House. The stock market has no effect upon it. It is not affected by the interest rate. The weather does not stop the Lord from being what He is to us. Sickness, suffering, and death do not push Him away, but only hasten the time when we can be with Him forever. Ask yourself, what makes you rejoice? What is the thing that really gets you excited? If it's not the Lord, you will not be able to rejoice always. Now, in Philippians 4:4, Paul had to say it again. You know, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said, again I will say rejoice. You know, I've said it once, but I'm going to say it a second time. Rejoice. Make the decision to rejoice. You can have joy even when things aren't so good. But you have to make that decision. It is not going to happen automatically. If you wait until everything in your life goes in your favor, you will never be happy, or the time of happiness will be very short. For myself, I can say I've had major health problems, but my life is filled with rejoicing. I have come from two broken homes. I have a job that few men want, and even fewer parents encourage their sons to follow, but I can still find reasons to rejoice. I'm sure you can too. Paul told them a second time to rejoice because he wanted the best for them. He had to command rejoicing a second time because we are slow to obey God. We think that maybe God doesn't know what He's talking about, or He doesn't know what's best for us, but He does. Has Paul been rejoicing in this little letter of Philippians? Let me give you several passages that will answer the question for you. Chapter 1, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Verse 25. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In chapter 3, as Paul starts to wrap up the letter, in verse 1 he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, the Jews of the flesh make a big deal about the fact that they are the circumcised. And yet Paul says, well, the ones whom God considers to be the circumcised are those who rejoice in Jesus Christ. In other words, those who rejoice in Jesus Christ, they are the favored people of God. Not those who have a surgical procedure done on their bodies. Chapter 4, verse 1, which we looked at last week. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. He says, you're my joy. And then what we've been looking at in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, he says. He found reasons to rejoice in these people. Although, as we noted last week, and I did earlier in this program today, that there was a little bit of a problem in the congregation. Yet Paul could still find reasons to rejoice greatly in that congregation. And then finally, verse 18. He says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus, who would be the preacher of the congregation, the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Well, was Paul practicing what he was preaching? I think so. He's been rejoicing in this little letter, and now he tells them to do the same thing. Does it occur to us that if we don't rejoice in the Lord always, that we're disobeying the Lord? Yes, there are times for weeping and mourning. But do we know when those times are? Do we weep when we should be rejoicing? Do we rejoice when we should be weeping? Do we know what it means to rejoice? Do we know how to rejoice in situations that would make people of the world sad? Let us obey the Lord and rejoice always. Here is why we should rejoice. That is, if you're a disciple of Christ, in addition to what we've already heard, you should be rejoicing for these reasons. And if you're not a faithful follower of Christ, and you want this joy that this man Paul had, then just listen to these following reasons. This is what you can find in Christ. Forgiveness. You are forgiven in Christ. No matter what it is that you've done, if you repent of it and turn to the Lord, and you are immersed in water, that is, baptized, the Bible tells us you will be forgiven. All good things come from the Lord. Whatever good things you have in your life, they are from Him. Indeed, if you count your many blessings, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You can also rejoice because He is with you always. Even to the end of the world, even to the end of your life, He's with you through it all. You can rejoice because you are loved deeply by God. And not only by Him, but you are also loved deeply by many others. questions, more than you will ever know. If you are following Jesus Christ, that means you're on the highway to heaven, because that's where He is right now. He is sitting at the right hand of His Father. So if you're following Him, you're going to end up in heaven. Now, think of those things I just listed. Let me mention them again, real quickly. There were six of them here. You can rejoice because, number one, you are forgiven. All good things in your life have come from the Lord. He is with you always. You are loved deeply by God. You are loved deeply by many Christians. You are on the highway to heaven. Now, are there times when those things are not true? When you are sick, let's say, does it mean that these things have failed? No. When you are suffering, does it mean that these things are no longer true? No. When you are being persecuted for what you believe, when you're being persecuted for the way that you're living, does it mean that the things I've just listed are of no effect? No. This is why, my dear friends, you can rejoice always in the Lord. Now, let's move into verse 5. In verse 5, it is written, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Not only were these members of the church suffering unjustly, as Paul was, and not only has he told them to rejoice, but now they're encouraged to be gentle. Gentle even in the midst of persecution. This fits in with what Paul said in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let me read those verses to you again. "To all things, without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." You know, almost anyone can be kind to another person at some time or another with some kind of motivation, but the believer has to show kindness, gentleness to all people at all times. Let us not be known for being overly suspicious of everyone. Let us not be known for an impatient spirit. People should see gentleness in our lives. They do not see gentleness in the world. They see road rage. They see war. They see violence. Nothing is so strong as gentleness. Nothing so gentle as real strength. Now, Paul ended verse 5 by saying, "The Lord is at hand." Oh, dear friends, do not forget that the Lord is close by. I used to think that this expression, "the Lord is at hand," meant the second coming of Christ, that it could be at any moment. While it is true that Jesus could return at any time, I believe the context of Philippians 4:5 leads me to a different conclusion. In other words, the Lord is close by to help you. Do not think that you are going through this world alone. He is with you. Call upon Him for help. He is there, right here, at hand. He's close by. He's ready to help. But He wants to work with you. He doesn't want to just take over and dominate. We have everything as Christians going for us. Why not rejoice? The Lord is gentle toward us, even when we are not gentle. Therefore, let us learn from Him, from both his teachings and his example how to be gentle. The Lord is close by, ready to help. Will you not reach out to him? Why hold back any longer? The Bible says that you must believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible also teaches that you must repent of all of your sins. Now, if you're ready to do that, you are then ready to be baptized into Christ. This means you can be immersed in water. You will be put down into the water and then brought back up. When you are doing that, or when that's being done to you, it's symbolic of the fact that you are a dead person who is now being buried, but you're coming back up out of the water because now your life is being resurrected. You are now a new person. You're being born again. You are rising to walk in newness of life. Is that not what you want? I'd encourage you to call the Nile Street Church of Christ. If you are outside of the Klamath Falls area, the area code is 541, and then the phone number is 882-5894. That's 541-882-5894. And of course, I want to invite you to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. Get to know the members there. See how they do things. Learn more from the Bible about your Heavenly Father's love for you. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about rejoicing always. This has been Perception with Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. God bless you.
Reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love. Just when hope seems to end, welcome faith, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace, faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful
Jesus is his name.